about why do we have a second day of Shavuos? Why do we have 2 days in there in Chutz La'aretz of Shavuos? Now, the reason I'm asking is because why do we keep 2 days? See, Hami here. Hami, are you on? Can you hear me? You want the first question? Should we pass?
Yeah. Why do we keep two days?
Okay. You're on deck right away. Why do we keep 2 days of Yom Tov in Seattle? Why do we keep 2 days? For Pesach, Sukkot, what was 2 days about? You know what that's about? What's it called?
They didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. I don't know.
Good. There you go. On the ball. Good. We have 2 days of Sukkot, 2 days of every holiday, because there's a fake Sveik of the Yom, we call it Yom Tov Chen Shagaliot. It's something about the exile. The fact that we didn't get the message about when Rosh Chodesh was in the days of the Ben HaMikdash, so they used to have Edim, witnesses that would come, even on Shabbat, they would just to figure out when Shabbat, figure out when Rosh Chodesh was declared, and calculate the holidays, but it would sometimes come out that people wouldn't hear about it if they're outside Israel. Okay, very nice. What about Shavuot? Was there ever a question what day Shavuot would be? How do you know how to figure out when Shavuot is?
It's based on Pesach. So if Pesach is right, then Shavuot's right. If Pesach was off by a day, then maybe Shavuot's off by a day.
There you go, Isaac. Okay, it's always dependent on Pesach. Very simple. So by the time Pesach rolls around, not everybody always heard the message by Pesach. But comes Shavuot, by then everybody got the right number because it's already been 3 months. And so by that time, there's nothing to mix up. There's no confusion because all the Rosh Chodeshim from Pesach to Shavuot are all fixed. There's nothing changing. And therefore, if you know when Pesach was, you can definitely figure out Shavuot. So therefore, a lot of people ask, wait a minute, we shouldn't have to keep a second day of Shavuot. We should just have Monday, Sunday night, we'll stay up all night. One day Shavuot this year. Well, why not? Who has any good answers for me? Why do we keep 2 days Shavuot? You ever hear the question? The question is, the reason we keep 2 days, like Hami says, because we weren't sure when Rosh Chodesh is. And Shavuot is really based on Pesach, but everybody will hear about Pesach when it comes 3 months later for Shavuot. So why would we not do 1 day Shavuot? Any suggestions?
Isn't there a Ninyan? I think it's for Rosh Hashanah. The reason for 2 days is different than the reason we just gave for the Shalosh Regalim. Would that apply to Matan Torah as well, or maybe not?
Maybe. Well, on the face of it, it does not seem the same, because the basic reason for Rosh Hashanah is the same idea. We weren't sure exactly which day was Kodesh, the first day, the second day, and it was much harder for anybody to know when Rosh Hashanah was, the first day or second day, because if you didn't live in Yerushalayim, you wouldn't know. Okay, so they should have made like Yom Tov Shagaliot. They should have made it a question of Safek. Which day is the real day? First day, keep the first day. If it's the real day, the second day, keep the second day. Why do they make Rosh Hashanah more serious than even Israel? They keep it. Even right in Yerushalayim, they keep 2 days. The answer is because 1 year happened. Even the Beit Din wasn't sure because the Edim came too late in the day. So it came out they couldn't declare it that day to be the Rosh Hashanah. Very good. So they kept it the second day. That year they decided for then on to keep it 2 days. Anyway. So long story short, it's basically fundamentally based on Safek as well. All right, move on to question number 2. Now, for this, I'm going to share my screen. We'll do a little bit of math. Anybody like math here? Anybody good at math? No, we can rely on
Hami
and Jake. Yeah, Hami. Okay.
Jake and Hami.
All right, excellent. So, we have to figure out exactly when was Shavuot in the Torah, and does it correspond with our Shavuot? Okay? So it'll start with this. Let's try to figure out. It talks about the man falling in the Torah. I want to figure out what day did the man begin to fall in the Midbar? Second year comes around, the Jews come to Midbar Sin, a certain place next to Har Sinai, and they all start to complain. They say, Hashem, we don't have any food. Come on, give us some food. The problem was, it's about a month later after they left Egypt. So what are they doing for a month? They didn't have any food. So let's see. When does this story start? Anybody tell me, where is it saying in the Psukim? What day of the month this story starts? Any hints? It's an underlined part. Which
15th of Iyar?
15th. 15th is exactly 1 month after they left Mitzrayim. They start complaining, we don't have any food, we want food. Hashem gives them the man. Rashi fills in the information. What were they doing for a month? The answer is they took enough matzah to last them a whole month. It's an incredible amount of matzah, but especially if it's soft matzah, it's a lot of matzah they took. Or, very possible, Hashem made a big bracha that the little matzah they took, the little food they took, it lasts them a really long time. Wonderful. And part of that miracle, they say the same thing happens in Shemitah. Hashem's going to give us enough food on the sixth year to last us 3 years, sixth year, seventh year, eighth year of Shemitah. And it says, well, if somebody is going to complain, they're not going to see the bracha. So then Hashem's going to give them, Hashem will take care of them. What do you mean? How is a person going to complain on Shemitah? They're not having enough food. Hashem usually gives triple the amount of grain, says the Torah. If they have triple the amount of grain, what are they complaining for? So the Mefarshim say, Hashem doesn't give triple the quantity, Hashem gives triple quality. Okay, and it lasts triple as long, it's as good, it fills you up much better than anything else. Anyway, that's the bracha that we had with the matzah leaving Mitzrayim. Wonderful matzah lasts us a month, brings the 15th of Iyar. Okay, what day of the week? Can anybody figure out what day of the week did the man begin to fall? This is a hard thing to, if you have any clues, it starts at the end of this paragraph. Moshe is telling them, any guesses?
I would say on a...
Monday. Okay, very close, good. Any other? So the Rashi HaChumash says, he thinks it was on Sunday it started to fall. Why does Rashi say Sunday? So because look, Moshe is giving instructions. You guys are going to take them on for 6 days? And the seventh day, you're not going to take money. You're going to see double on the sixth day. Vayabi yom shishi, you're going to have 6 days. Shishi yamim tilkatu, command. For 6 days, you're going to go collect. Vayom shvi, shabbat lo yabo. Seventh day, no man. Okay. Sounds like, says Rashi, he's commanding them, Sunday is going to be the first day of the man. Now let's figure out, when was Shavuot in the Torah? Okay. We left Mitzrayim, who knows what day, of Nisan. What day of Nisan do we leave Mitzrayim?
Shavish Pesach, so.
We left Al Jashir. We got through the Yamsuf Shavish Pesach. What day is first day of Pesach? Let's work it backwards.
14th of Nisan.
14th Nisan is when they brought the Korban Pesach. And then that night, it was Makkah B'chorot. Bam, in the morning, Tevav, they left. Wonderful. So that's when we start Pesach, Tevav, is when we left Mitzrayim. Now, if you go a month later into Iyar, and you look on Tevav Iyar, that's when they came to Midbar Sin. They started complaining about having man. And Moshe says, tomorrow, guys, you're going to start collecting man for a week. 6 days collect, 7 days don't collect. Great. That starts on a Sunday. That's how the calendar so far so look. It looks so good. Now, if you keep counting, you'll see when do we get the Torah. Comes the next month after Nisan Iyar, we get to Sivan. We get to Sivan. That's a big discussion. Did we get the Torah on Vav Nisan, on Vav Sivan, on Zion Sivan? Anybody know when do we get the Torah? Which day of Sivan?
On Vav Sivan? I mean, it was supposed to be Vav Sivan.
Very good. Okay. It's a trick question. You got the answers. Both answers. Vav Sivan was the intended date of Akash Baruch. And Moshe delayed it for a day. And then it came out on Zion Sivan. Okay, beautiful. The question is a very basic question. How many days of the Omer are there from Yetziat Mitzrayim? Let's count the first day from Pesach. And the first day of, after the first day of Pesach, meaning from Tet Zion, meaning the second day of Pesach, from Tet Zion, Nisan, until Matan Torah. How many days of the Sefirat Omer was it? What day of the Omer was Matan Torah and the Torah, if you were to count? Okay, so if you have...
The 50th?
That's what it should be. Let's check this out. Is this really 50? Let's see. We have... Tet Zion. That's one. Go a week. We got seven. Here's going to be eight. A week is going to be eight. 15. So you should do it with the sevens easier. You got 7, 14, 21, 28, 30, 35, 42, 49, 50. 50 is right over here. So the trouble is, we really got the Torah on the 51st day. And yet we celebrate Shavuot. When do we celebrate Shavuot every year?
On the 50th.
On the 50th, excellent. Question number two for tonight is, why do we keep Shavuot on the wrong day? We keep Shavuot on Vav Sivan. We keep Shavuot on the 50th day of the Omer. The real Matan Torah happened 51st day. A real Matan Torah happened on Zayin Sivan. Why is that? Isaac, you were alluding to part of the answer. You could say it again, but I want to get to a little bit the depth of why do we celebrate the wrong day? Anybody have a suggestion? Why do we celebrate Zion? Should celebrate Vav. We celebrate Vav. Why do we celebrate Vav? I'm very happy it's Vav because it's actually my birthday. I was born on Vav Sivan. I love it. It's my Hebrew birthday. But we really should celebrate Zion. It's not the right day. Any suggestions over here?
When Bnei Israel overslept? Is that when it was?
We overslept on Matan Torah. That would be on Zion. So, okay, let's see. The good news is we have another opinion in the Gemara there. This is one way of reading the Torah. That was one opinion. Here's the other opinion. Vav Sivan is when we got the Torah. So now we're all good. We're now in shape. We got the Torah on 6th of Sivan. We keep the Shavuot on 6th Sivan. That's how the Rabbanon says. Makes a lot of sense to me. Problem is, though, if you keep counting exactly which day of the Omer it is, it doesn't really work either. Because the rabbis had the same tradition of the reading of the Torah that Rashi did. And Rashi got it from the Gemara. What day of the week did the man begin to fall?
On a Sunday.
On Sunday. And you work backwards. What day did we leave Mitzrayim? It was a Thursday. So then what does it come out if we left Mitzrayim on a Thursday? If you're counting the Omer from the second day, what does it come out? What day was Matan Torah of the Omer?
Should it be or what is it?
Well, what was it according to the rabbis? That the year we got the Torah, what day did we get it? From leaving Mitzrayim on the Omer account, which day was it?
The 50th.
Let's see what we got. This day doesn't count. That's leaving Mitzrayim. After leaving Mitzrayim, this is day one. This is day seven. Dot, 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 dot. 49. What day do we get the Torah?
51st.
That doesn't even help. We tried fixing the calendar. We said, according to that opinion of Rabbi Yossi, we definitely celebrate the wrong day because Matan Torah was on the seventh day of Sivan. We're keeping the wrong day of the month. We're doing the sixth of Sivan. So you might want to tell me, fine, don't worry, there's a different opinion. Yeah, but the different opinion is on Vav Sivan. It's very nice. It's the right day of the calendar, but it's the wrong day of the Omer. So why is it my questions for tonight are, why is it that we keep a different calendar day of the Sefirot HaOmer? And why do we keep 2 days of, why do we keep 2 days of Yom Tov Shagaliot to begin with? We already know the day, okay? I'll share one other slide over here just because it's interesting. Here we go. And we're going to get to the Halachot of Yom Tov Sheni soon. But one more question before we start putting this together and figuring it out. The Tur asks a fascinating question. This is the Baal Tur himself. The Rashi has a great question. How come when it comes to Yom Tov, we have one Shmona Esrei, one simple Shmona Esrei? It just, you fill in the blanks, whether it's a Sukkot, Shavuot, whatever. You fill in the blanks, whatever it is. And for Shachri, Arvid, Mincha, same text every time. You just fill in the blank, whatever holiday it is. Shabbat How many texts do we have for Arvit, Shacharit, Mincha? How many texts we got?
Different for each Amidah.
Good. Why is that? It's not fair to make it to Yom Tov that we don't give it appreciation to. We can't come up with different texts. We have to use the same thing. Or that we make our lives a little difficult on Shabbat there to make it so that we can't remember the words. We have to make it different every time. What's that all about? Why do we have different words, different texts every Shmoneh Esrei of Shabbat? And comes Yom Tov, we have the same Shmoneh Esrei, every single one. The Torah says, fascinating idea. He says, because the Kedusha Yom Tov is uniform. So we do one Shmoneh Esrei throughout. But he says, you know what? Shabbat represents the three Tfilot. It represents three incredible Shabbatot that define history. The past, present, and future. Well, when do we have Shabbat in the past? Goes back to the first Shabbat in the history of the world, Shabbat Bereshit, the first Shabbat that Hashem rested. Hashem created the world in 6 days. That was the first week. That was Shabbat. Beautiful. The Ben Ish Chai has an acronym. We'll talk about other things he says that are interesting. It says Bereshit, six letters. You can rearrange it in lots of different ways and corresponds to lots of different chidushim and mitzvot. If you rearrange the letters, you pull out Shabbat out of Bereshit. Anybody know which letters are left? You take out the bet, you take out the shin, you take out the tav. Which middle letters, which letters am I left with?
Resh, Aleph, and Yud.
Resh, Aleph, Yud. Okay, rearrange those. Basically, you come out with Yareh, Shabbat. Yud, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Bet, Tav. A person who fears Shabbat, that's one of the reasons Hashem created the world. That's part of the creation, part of the Bereshit, part of the Yesod of the Torah, is awaiting Shabbat. Now, says the Torah, the reason that we have the first tefillah on Shabbat is because of the creation of the world. We're remembering what happened in creation of the world. And that's why on Friday night, we do Ataki Dasha. You, Hashem, made the Kedusha of Shabbat. And in fact, anybody ever notice the text is Shmoneh Esrei Me'el Gad HaSidur? Anybody notice? Do we talk about non-Jews? Which Shmoneh Esrei do we say in the Shmoneh Esrei that non-Jews don't keep Shabbat?
Mincha.
Mincha. Okay, I'm going to grab a Sidur. Arelim lo yishbetuba. What's the? Oh, let me get this.
Oh, so that's. I think that one's Shachri. But I thought you were talking about Atachad v'Shimcha Echad.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about Tal Echad. It's Lonatata.
Yeah.
That is Shacharit. Hold on. So let me get to the Shmoneh Esrei. Anybody have it? Anybody know it off? Anybody Chazanim here know by heart?
I mean, you know it.
I have a Siddur. I know it says in right. Like something about up there.
Okay. Okay, so here's the text.
Yes.
On our restful days, the Arilim, the non-Jews, have no part in it. Hashem gave us with love. Separate, special thing. The Zohar, in fact, has a mashal. He says, just like a couple, has a private room. A husband, wife, the private room. Everybody else is, we say, everybody else is not in, is not allowed in. So too, when it comes to Shabbat, it's for Jews and it's only for Jews. And somebody, a non-Jew that wants to keep Shabbat, we say, sorry, he's not part of the private club. In fact, that's what some say. Why do we say Shalom Aleichem? In the Shalom Aleichem, we say Seitchem LeShalom. You know, anybody know, why do we sing Seitchem LeShalom, goodbye angels? We want to get rid of them so fast, we just invited them 5 seconds ago. What are we getting rid of them? Anybody know? The joke is that we want to get rid of them because in case we're going to say, we want to say goodbye, so we can say some Lashon Hara in the middle of the meal. So, but really, why do we say Seichem L'Shalom?
They're not Chayav, so they can't participate.
Okay, like that. Hold on, was that Jake? That was Jake. I didn't see it. I just had to fix my screen to see everything. Okay.
No, that was Isaac.
Who was that?
I said that, but I'm not sure if it's true. I thought you were.
I like it. No. I want to hear Jake too. I like that answer. They're not chayav and shabbat. That's good. That's excellent. Along the lines of what we said right before, Rav Avram Shor says, Shabbat is a present Hashem gave us directly. No angels are invited. It's just with us. Hashem is zivug with us. Hashem has a relationship with us. Hashem builds that bond with us only on Shabbat. And therefore the angels would say, you're welcoming in the Shabbat, you protect us. But you know what? Say Chan L'Shalom, the door is that way. Because it's our time with Hashem. We don't need you over here. Shabbat, Hashem Shekhinah comes into our houses. So that's why we say Seicham L'Shalom. Now, what about the non-Jews? Okay, back to this point. Why do we mention non-Jews? We only mention, because we want to say it's a gift for us. Very nice. Beautiful. That's why we have the Shabbat special present from Hashem only for Jews. Now, why don't we mention that theme on Friday night? So we're going to start getting the depth of it. The Friday night Shemoneh Esrei is connected to the creation, the past. The Shabbat of creation. Are non-Jews connected to that idea of Shabbat? Shabbat is really part of, there's time for rest. There's time for work and a time for rest. And Hashem built that into the creation. Hashem is a present of Ba Shabbat, Ba Menucha. Now we can appreciate the world. What do we say? Should we mention the non-Jews in the Shemoneh Esrei of Friday night or Shabbat? And why? Let's start like this. What's the theme of Shabbat Day? I didn't say that one. What's the theme of the Shemoneh Esrei Shabbat Day? That's the present that refers to Yismachum Moshe Manat Torah. Say again, what's the theme?
Shabbat Matan Torah.
Matan Torah, beautiful. That's the middle. We got the Torah on Shabbat. As in both those calendars we had, it was exactly fell out on Shabbat. According to everybody, no matter what, the Torah came out on Shabbat. And the fact that it came out of Shabbat, we want to celebrate that. So we're going to make our middle Shemoneh Esrei and Shabbat connected to that. Beautiful. So we do the middle Shemoneh Esrei connected to Shabbat. That's what we do in Yisrochum Moshe Manach Chalkom. Moshe got a beautiful present. What was it? Hashem, he gave us the mitzvah of Shabbat. Okay. That's what Moshe was Zochen. Why do we think Moshe? Anybody know? Why do we thank Moshe Rabbeinu for getting the Shabbat? He got us all the Torah. And it wasn't really his wonderful thing. It belonged to everybody. It belongs to all the Jews. What do we give him credit? Credit he doesn't deserve. Anybody know?
After the egg, yeah.
Okay, but what after the egg?
Saved us. Moshe pleaded on our behalf. We wouldn't be alive for a Shabbat.
Oh, very good, very good. Rav Tzaddik says, we got something special in Matan Torah that we lost. A double crown. Anybody know about this double crown? Where we got it from? Who gave it to us? How we got it? Anybody know about this double crown?
The otiyot, or
we got a crown, not otiyot. That was the
Naaseh v'nishma.
I'm so proud that you're remembering. The reason we had crowns is because Naaseh v'nishma, excellent. Yishkoch, good. 22,000 angels came down from Shemayim to give us crowns. And Naaseh v'nishma, Hashem was so proud that we said Naaseh v'nishma, so Hashem gave us crowns. Once in the Chedegel, we lost those crowns. It says in the Pesukim, Rashi brings it, that we took the Edyom Elav, Hashem took the jewels off us. Okay, we were mourning over the ego, we couldn't get it. Hashem says, forget it, guys. You guys are never getting these crowns back. You'll get the crowns back when you guys make a tikkun, when Mashiach is going to come, you'll be back, and the Sfarno says you'll be back to the level of Gan Eden, you'll get a crown, very nice. But you're not going to get it right now. You'll have like a Ner Daluk al Rosho, a certain beautiful light, but no one's going to get it. Moshe Rabbeinu, you can get it. That's why they had a Masecha al Rosho, that's why he had to have a mask. No one could see the shining light from his face. Unlike Adam, similar to Adam Rishon, had a certain shining light. He could see from Rosh Olam Ad Tofo. He could see from one side of the world to the other with a certain amount of incredible vision he had. Says the Zohar, I think, says Rosh Tzaddok, based on the Kabbalah, we get back once a week the present of these crowns. And that's on Shabbat. So who are we going to think that we get these crowns back? Yes, we have to. It's like Isaac said, we have to thank Moshe Rabbeinu because it was only Al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu praying that we should survive. That's one. But two is it's connected to. Hold on, I'm trying to put it together. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to give to make sure that we should have these crowns back. I think that was part of the prayer. Hashem should give us back these crowns. Hashem said, I'm going to give back the crowns only on Shabbat, and you're going to get them the rest of the week. Fine. So that's why Moshe got it through Masecha all the time, and we got it back only in Shabbat. So that's a certain present we daven for in this middle Shemoneh Esrei and Shacharit of Shabbat. Just, okay, if it's all too confusing, let's summarize what's the point. We have three Shemoneh Esreis connected to three Shabbatot of history. The past is about creation. That's the first Shemoneh Esrei. That's the RV. Then Shacharit, the morning prayer, that's connected to Matan Torah. And then, and we want to mention, now a question, why do we put the fact that non-Jews are not included in Shabbat in the second Shemona Esrei, in the Matan Torah Shemona Esrei, but we don't include them in the first Shemona Esrei? Anybody know now? Suggestions? Jake, you have an idea? What's the idea why we say the non-Jews, sorry, they're excluded from Matan Torah, but not excluded from the Shabbat Bereshit? Okay. Papa's saving the day. Okay. So fine, I'll supply the answer.
They were part of creation, so they're zochet to be part of creation, but they're not. They didn't get that matana me'ahava. That's the Torah.
There we go.
Great answer.
Beautiful. That's exactly what I was thinking. The Aruch HaShulchan says, in fact, non-Jews are included in some aspect of Shabbat. The halacha is, in fact, there's certain things we wouldn't ask a non-Jew to do on Shabbat. There's a strange Tosfot that says this. He says, for example, we don't do burials on Shabbat. Anybody, what about, you can't do Amir L'Nafra, you can ask a non-Jew to do a burial. Why don't we do it on Shabbat? Tosfot says, because it's a chilul Shabbat to have non-Jews work, because even non-Jews a little bit are connected to Kedusha Shabbat. Okay, we'll get back to that. But anyway.
It's like Amir L'Nafra, or different than that?
It's a deeper thing. Yes, it's connected to Amir L'Nachri. Amir L'Nachri is mutar for mitzvah usually, but it's not kavod Shabbat that a Jew should be buried on Shabbat. It's a whole inyan. But it's connected to non-Jews. Non-Jews working on Yom Kippur is called malacha. Anyway, fine. It was the sharing screen not working. Now it's working.
No, it was working.
Okay, fine. Here we go. Just something popped on my screen. Great. The third Shemona Esrei has to do with Atah Echad, has to do with the future. The first future Shabbat is Yom Shekul Shabbat, when there's Mashiach, when everybody's going to recognize Hashem. That's beautiful. Okay, that's what the third Shemona Esrei is all about. When we have Hashem Echad, the day that we'll all recognize Hashem. Okay, that's what we're hoping for. A person who eats all three meals of Shabbat is going to be Zochet to see that there is a Mashiach. Okay. Ochel dag b'yom dag, either that phrase or the Maharal says this. Okay, someone who has all three meals in Shabbat saved is to see the days of Mashiach. Beautiful. Now, my question is, why was Matan Torah on Shabbat? What does that have anything to do with Shabbat? What's the big deal that it fell on Shabbat? It's random. It could have fallen out on Thursday. It could have fallen on Friday. In fact, we say, I don't know, I think the Moroccans also say this, Hayom Yom, tomorrow we say Hayom Yom Hashishi Shir Shayu Levim Amrim Adukhan. Anybody know what's different in the way we introduce this? The Hayom Hashishi. Who said that?
I did. Hashishi.
You're getting all of them. If the share the wealth, okay, I'll make it easy. I'll try to get the Hami back in. So, why do we start with a hey? Hashishi. The rest of the days are not special. We don't say Hayom Yom HaChamishi, Yom Yom Sheni. Anybody know? Because in the Torah, when it says the days of creation, it says Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, very nice, all the days of creation. On the sixth day of creation in the first paragraph in Torah, all the ones don't have a hay. It comes to the sixth day of creation, it says the sixth day, V'hi Bayom HaShishi. It says, Rashi, what do you mean Bayom HaShishi? Or we say it in, we quote the Psukim, Yom Shishi v'Yechol Shemayim Ha'aretz. We quote them in the Kiddush. What's Yom HaShishi? This the day. Says Rashi, it's the day because the entire world's creation depends on the sixth day of Sivan. There's going to be one Friday in many years from now that the world is going to stand upon that day. If the Jews accept the Torah, wonderful. If they don't, then you can say goodbye and good luck. The world's done. So doesn't that sound like there was one Friday in the beginning of creation? It's Talua. It's connected to another Friday. Which one is that? Matan Torah was supposed to be on the Friday. So what's such a big deal? We should make our Shemona Esrei connected to Shabbat, to Matan, make Shabbat connected to Matan Torah. It's true. Matan Torah fell on Shabbat. Why does that matter? Okay. Questions to summarize? Any answers on that? Why is Shabbat connected to Matan Torah? Why does it matter that Matan Torah fell on Shabbat? Okay, summarizing the questions, why do we have Yom Tov Sheni on Shavuot? It doesn't make any sense. We knew 3 months already when the messengers came and told us when the real day is. Second question, is we celebrate the wrong day. We're celebrating not the right day of Shavuot. We're celebrating the 51st day. Also, because the real day in the years of Matan Torah, it was the 51st day we got the Torah. Or according to Rabbi Yossi, it was the seventh day of Sivan. So why are we celebrating the wrong day? The wrong day of the month and the wrong day of the Omer. We should celebrate Zion this year. We should make Tuesday the real day. What are we doing on Monday? Those two questions. And the third question was, why does Shabbat matter? We got the Torah on Shabbat. Okay, a few halachot, and then we're going to get the answers. Okay, a halachot like this. Okay, Jakey, what do you say? Jake, what do you say about an Israeli coming to America? And they're planning on back. How many days do they keep?
How many days live permanently in Israel? They're allowed to keep one. That's my...
Excellent. Thought. Good. They keep one day of Yom Tov. Are they allowed, and this is a, okay, are they allowed to do work on the second day of Yom Tov? That's very complicated.
I think they're...
Only if it's not visible, if they don't show anybody.
Good. Okay. Papa knows the answers here. Good. It's a machloket, Ramah, and Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says they're allowed to work only in private. And the Ramah says they're not allowed to work at all. But what about the opposite case? Why would the Ramah be so strict? In the opposite case, an American goes to Israel temporarily. And they come, how many days, temporarily go to Israel, and they're married already. How many days do they keep?
Two.
So why is that fair that the Ramah should say when an Israeli comes to America, he has to keep two? He can't be, but when we come to Israel, we keep the same way we always keep two. We keep two when we go to Israel. Why is he not allowed to do work over here? Simple, basic reason is zilzul. We're afraid of an Israeli doing work in America when it's Yom Tov Sheni, because we're afraid it's going to cause people to think that Yom Tov Sheni doesn't matter. Okay, so that's a simple rule. That's the Ramah. Sar didn't follow the main halakha. He is Shulchan Aruch. Private work is allowed. Fine. Now,
I have a question.
Yeah, please.
So I think during one of our weekday minyanim at Bet Halevi, my dad shared some halachot about, like, pertaining to wearing tefillin if it's your minhag on Chol HaMoed Pesach, like, which just passed. And kind of the problems with that, if you're allowed to do it, if you should do it in a private room. So we have to say about that.
That's excellent halachot, excellent. Sfaradim don't usually wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Ashkenazim generally do. And so if the Ashkenazim are in a Sfaradi minyan, the best thing is that they should put it on, they should go to Ashkenazi minyan, a place where everybody else is putting on the tefillin. So this way it's not any questionable to go to do, that there's two different minagim. But Ikar HaDin is they're really allowed to do it in the same minyan, because everybody knows today there's two established minagim, so it's not really allowed to go to this Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. They're really allowed to. Okay, so now here's a question. Can I ask an Israeli to do work in his house, private things, and no one should see to benefit me? For example, it's Yom Tov Sheni, and I forgot to turn off the lights, or my kid turned on the lights. No one could go to sleep the second night of Shavuot. Can I ask an Israeli, I'll go out of the room, no one's going to watch, it'll be private, can you turn off the lights for me? Am I allowed to do that? Tommy, yes. What do you say? Can I ask an Israeli to work for me on his second day?
I don't know, but I hope yes.
Okay, good. Well, it's the right answer in this case. You can. It's a big machloket. Big machloket. So any answer you would have said probably is right over here. Ravadia, in some of the Shuvot earlier, said not allowed. In the later Shuvot, he says mutar. Because there's no such thing as Amir L'Yisrael. Amir L'Nachri is forbidden. Amir L'Yisrael is mutar. There's no question. One of the reasons Amir L'Nachri is forbidden, the Rambam says, because it's going to lead to you doing the malacha yourself. You're going to see some. You're going to ask a non-Jew to do the malacha. It's going to lead to zilzul of Shabbat, and you'll say, "Hey, if he could do it, I should do it too." But there's no zilzul Shabbat when I have another Jew doing malacha for me, because I know there's easy room to distinguish. He's doing it because he's Israeli. I'm American. Okay. Either way, that is, but he only can do it in private. Now, what about...
Isn't it, sorry, one quick question. Isn't it no longer in private if he's doing it for another Jew?
So you have to make it so that the other Jew, no one sees him. Okay. It's a complicated thing. There was a story a long time ago, I don't know, whatever, in the days of Chidah or something. There was once an Israeli traveling from Israel, and he came to a place, and they were doing Kriyat Torah on the second day of Shavuot, second day, whatever, second day of Yom Tov one time, and they realized that a letter was cracked in the Sefer Torah. It was not kosher. And they know their Sefer Torah. So you know what the rabbi did? The rabbi said, he called over an Israeli, he said, put a tallit over your head, quickly take some ink, fix the letter, and make the Torah kasher. But oh boy, was there a big machlok that broke out about that, because the shayla was that really private? People saw that he was there. What was this guy making a little tent over the Torah? So that was a tremendous machlok, a big question. Also, Ashkenazim don't allow private malacha. So it's a big machlok, okay, if you can do that.
Matter if it's the tzorech mitzvah like that, or that wouldn't make a difference?
It does make some difference. Once Rav Schechter had the following case, a tough type of case. There was a man who was giving a woman a hard time to get a get. They were going to get divorced. A couple, they weren't getting along. They needed to get divorced. And whatever reason was, the Beit Din told him that he should give his wife a bill of documents for divorce to get. And a woman's not able to get remarried without a get. And unfortunately, this man didn't do the right thing. He was causing her pain and giving her trouble not to give her a get. Okay? And she was an aguna for some time, fine. And the guy was going to give them trouble. He said, I'm only coming into a certain place at a certain time. He was around that area. And then he's leaving right away. So when was he near a Beit Din in New York, wherever it was? He was there only... He was there only on Yom Tov, and he was leaving right after Yom Tov. And he said to the Beit Din, look, if you're going to arrange the get on Yom Tov, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'm not doing any of the get. So the question is, are you allowed, how do you have a get arranged to be given on Yom Tov? You have to write it. How could you write a get on Yom Tov? Any ideas, solutions?
It's Yom Tov Rishon we're talking about?
Either one. Either Yom Tov Rishon or Yom Tov Shini.
So, can you write it before Yom Tov and just have the other person sign it on Yom Tov?
You have to have it written with the consent of the husband. The husband only said he consents to being written only on Yom Tov.
On Yom Tov. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Could you get a non-Jew to write again? So you can't have an anjou. It's a very halachic. Cannot have an anjou. Yes, it's similar to marriage, just like kiddushin has to be done with Jews, even a shaliach, but it has to be Jew. So to get has to be with Jews.
You have an Israeli write it on the second day.
That's what Shechter said they should do. And in fact, they did that. However, it's a big machloka. By Ashkenazim, they should rely on that. Because by Ashkenazim, they usually don't have an Israeli do melacha for them. Bishad b'chak, though, he said we could rely on those opinions. Now, guess what happened to be? He said there's another sniffle hakel, because it was Shavuot. He said, Shavuot, maybe we're more lenient on the second day of Shavuot. Why? Because we all know what day the real day is Shavuot. It's the first day. So what do you say about that? So we'll come back to that point. But he said it was halakha.
Learned the opposite, that the first day is not the actual day, that the second day is Matan Torah.
So we're going to come back to that. Yes, yes. Just saying that story, it's a real story. It happened a few years ago. But it is based on a tremendous machloket, everything here.
That was the answer they used?
In fact, that's what the Beis Din of America did. Yeah, that's what they did in New York. That's what they did. Rav Schechter said, there is a Chatam Sofer story, mamash, similar to this. A guy, not a gunasar, not a guy who was rotten, nasty, but a guy who was dying. A sad story. A guy's dying, and he says he wants to give a get to his wife. Why? So he shouldn't have to do chalitza. They had no children, and the guy had brothers. The brothers, unfortunately, lived in the middle of Russia, and they weren't religious and whatever it was. they didn't have any way of traveling there. So if a man does without any children, anybody know what the mitzvah is that they're supposed to do before a woman gets remarried? Anybody know? A couple was married, no children, the husband and Chasshom, husband passed away, and there's brothers.
Doesn't the brother marries the widow?
Oh, good. The brothers either marry, that's called Dibum, or there's a different option. If they don't get married today, it's very common to do the other option. What's that?
Dibum and Chalitza.
Chalitza is taking off the shoe. Beautiful. That frees the woman. So this guy was dying, but the problem was the guy's brother was going to live 3,000 miles away, and there was no way of really contacting him in the middle of the 1800s. So it could be the woman would not be able to get remarried for a really long time. It would be really difficult, especially if the guy wasn't religious and he'd just give everybody a hard time. So the husband who was dying, Chas v'Shalom, he was very sick. So the Chas v'Shalom said, could you have an Israeli write the get on Yom Tov Sheni of Shavuot? And we'll see his answer very soon. I didn't put it in the slides, but I have it in my parot. He said, actually, I would allow any other Yom Tov. I would not allow Shavuot. Shavuot, Yom Tov Sheni is the most chamur overall. So Rosh Hashanah said he knew that tshuva. Rosh Hashanah said, the same type of situation happened in New York a few years ago, and when he happened to him, he said he doesn't think we follow Shatam Sofer. Very interesting. Okay? And it's exactly the argument Isaac was making. Fine. Getting some halachot, though. Bottom line halachot, just a few, and then we'll go back. The bottom halachot is asking Israeli to work, we said, you're going to do in private. For his Sephardim, not private is a problem. Okay? Then what about an American who owns an Israeli company in Israel? Am I allowed to have my Israeli workers work for me on the second day of Yom Tov if I'm American, I live in America, and my workers live in Israel, and they want to work on the second day? Is that allowed? Or that should be not allowed? I'm not allowed to ask a Jew to work on Yom Tov. So I'm having my workers work for me on Yom Tov. For me, it's Yom Tov. And they're doing it publicly. What do we say? Yes, no, Jake, what are your votes?
In Israel, why can't they do it?
I like that answer. Okay, good. So that's the Pesach Rav Avadia says they're allowed. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein as well. Fine. Every person goes by their own time zone. Very good. It's a big question about calling. There was a family once I was at that the boy who was in Israel for the year was calling. They had this practice. They always did. They would call after Shabbat finished in Israel, and they had like a message machine. That if you didn't answer, went on loudspeaker. So they'd call when Shabbat was over or when Yom Tov was over in Israel, and they'd hear his voice in the middle of Shabbat at their lunch. So, okay, I don't know if I particularly like that practice. You have to judge. You go by the time zone. So if you go by the time zone, he did was fine. Anyway, another question is, what about Chazan from Israel who comes to America? Is he allowed to pray for the congregation on the second day? Is he allowed to pray for them when really he's not keeping a second day? Is he allowed? Once it happened in West Orange, that's where I'm from. West Orange, we always often used to get Yomim Narim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, a Chazan, and sometimes stayed for Sukkot. So he came to Sukkot, and he was the one who knew the Kriyat Torah best. Are we allowed to have him allow him to lean, even though the Kriyat Torah is not applicable to him on the second and the last day? What do we say? Yes, no?
To read Torah, I feel like, is different than leading tefillah. Read Torah, I would say yes. Leading tefillah is a little different. You're saying tefillot or brachot that you're not necessarily supposed to be saying.
Okay. Good options.
Being a Baal Koreh, providing a service to the Kahal or something like that, I feel like anyone can do, even if they're not chayav in that specific kriya. Like doing multiple kriyot or something. They're not chayav in the next one. You could still do it nonetheless.
Wow. Okay. Excellent. I do have to look into this more. I looked this up once because it did happen. So I saw Rav Avadia's psak on a case that was similar. Can I give him an aliyah? Can I call him up for the Torah? He says he cannot call him for the Torah. It's basically a big machloket. I thought it was the same halakha for asking him to do the aliyah, to do the kriyat Torah. However, I don't remember. So it might be right, Isaac. I'm not certain. It was a big machloket. The same thing with doing tefillah, it's a big machloket. Yes, Jake. It's a better time.
I definitely agree with Isaac's distinction between being like just coming and reading Torah. You see people in shuls do that all the time, run around minyan to minyan.
Yeah.
And not being chayav and actually saying brachot could be problematic. I think it could be similar to, like, let's say I prayed shachrit already. Am I allowed to lead shachrit for another minyan on a regular weekday. Is that like the same thing?
Excellent comparison. Those are in the Chidah when they talk about this in the Shulchan Aruch. It's called Yatzamotzi. If I've already been fulfilled my obligation, can I be owed to someone else? The answer is yes, you can. You can do it 10 times, where as many people as needed. The thing is, between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Shini, it could be for him this day is like chol, there's no obligation. So it's like enu mechuyav b'davar. They're not obligated at all. So I can't be motzi them. It's not, they're not relevant. Okay. A few kulot that exist on Yom Tov Shini is one is medicine. Even though on Shabbat, a person generally shouldn't take medicine unless they're in a lot of pain. But generally, regular simple medicines shouldn't take. But on Yom Tov, there's anyway, first Yom Tov Rishon, if someone really needs it anyway, there is leniencies. But certainly Yom Tov Shini, it's pashut on the books, it's totally mutar. Yom Tov Rishon even is also, Ravadi has more leniencies today. Burials, Ikara din is mutar on Yom Tov Shini, a Jew could do it. Lamaaseh, it's a difference of practices. Generally speaking, the practice in America is they don't do it. My father said, when he growing up in Brooklyn, he remembers that people used that was the practice. They would do burials on Yom Tov Sheni. Okay, it's a leniency in the Gemara. Fine. Early Yom Tov Sheni. Okay,
I believe they still do it in Brooklyn.
Ah, thank you, Dubin. That is the simple pashut halacha in the Shulchan Aruch to do a burial on Yom Tov Sheni. However, what was I going to say?
What a briot.
The kavod, yes, the reason to do it early is because kavod abriyot. We want to be able to bury them. That's definitely true. And that's why the Gemara says, kichol shavu l'rabbanan gilagabi the mitzvah of kvura. It's mutar to do it. The problem that Rav Moshe finds and felt that they shouldn't do it in other places is, whatever, in general, he said not to do it is because we're afraid people are going to drive. But you're not supposed to drive on Yom Tov to the burial. So if they're going to do the burial in Brooklyn, nearby, the few people who could walk, could come, and this immediate family anyway is allowed to drive there for the kavod, they made the immediate mamash, but everybody else is not supposed to come. Fine. But if in places we're afraid people are going to come and drive on Shabbat and Yom Tov because of this, shouldn't do it at all. Fine. That's what a lot of places don't do. But yes, I think Syrians do. Good. Early Yom Tov Shini, are you allowed to do early second day? And is Shavuot any different? What do we say about this? Starting early Monday afternoon, starting the second day Yom Tov. Yes or no?
No. I vote no. That's yes. My vote.
Yeah. Why no? Why no, Isaac?
I don't have a concrete or based answer. I just feel
okay,
like...
Okay, good. That's a good answer. Minhag, good. Excellent. Papa says yes. So let's see. The post can debate this. The Ben Ish Chai has a tshuva, and it's also in the regular Ben Ish Chai in both places. He says it's mutar to do it early. There's two main considerations that the poskim. Rav Yashiv says, no, you can't do it. Others say yes, some say no. Why does Rav Yashiv say no? One reason is a practical reason, because you might prepare the food on Monday day, the first day Yom Tov, for the night, and that's hachan, to prepare one day to the other. So the Ben Ish Chai has a simple solution. You pray early enough this way, You prepared the food on Monday, so you can eat it before sundown on Monday. You don't need to eat the whole meal, but you're able to eat at least a kazayit of the meal. You're able to eat a good part of the meal, some of the main dishes, not just the beginning of the meal, some of the main dish. Okay, that's the solution. The other thing is he talks about maybe it's like zilzul Yom Tov Rishon to say, I'm finishing Yom Tov Rishon, I'm taking on Yom Tov Shini, so I'm not supposed to do that. But the Ben Ish Chai doesn't hold to that. The Ben Ish Chai says, no problem. You're making tosefet. You're superimposing one kedusha of the second day upon the first day. You're not taking anything away from the first day. That's fine. So the halacha is it's mutar to do. Is there any issue with Shavuot? Do we do early Shavuot the first night? Usually Yom Tov or Shabbat do. We do early. What?
Some do. Some don't.
Oh, the minhag, the better minhag by first day is not too early because we want tmimot. Tmimot is
right.
We want to make sure that all our counts are full, finished. Okay, now the second day doesn't have that reason. Therefore, the Ben Ish Chai's talk is you can do early Shavuot, second night. First night, yes, there are some who do it early. Better not to do early the first night Shavuot. But you can, Ikara did. Second night, it's totally mutar to do second night early, but make sure the food they're preparing, you can prepare it in the middle of the afternoon, but should be eaten or should be available to be eaten, at least a gazayit of it, before sundown. Any questions on these halachot? on any of these points? Okay, so here's the answers that we could try to say. Why is... Oh, I didn't say the tour before. I got it all mixed up the slides. I apologize. I meant to put the tour here. Either way, why was the Torah given on Shabbat? Why do we celebrate that day? So the answers are like this. Because the Kedusha of Shabbat... Oh, hold on. I don't want to... These are nothing so precious, but these are my notes. Oh, so why do we have Shabbat? The Matzah Torah Shabbat? Because the Kedusha of Shabbat represents that Hashem's bringing Hishlina into the world. And it was only possible we should accept the Torah, the Shem Yishmol says, on Shabbat because the Torah is so outer worldly. The Torah is so incredible and so high uplifted. And we weren't ready to accept the Torah except for on Shabbat, where Hashem's ready to come into this world a little bit more. So we had to accept the Torah on Shabbat. That's his reason. The reason, another reason why is the Meshach HaMei says, the theme of Shabbat is our bond with Hashem. As we talked about, the Seichem L'Shalom, the angels believe, is our bond with Shabbat. But, says the Meshach Chachma, Yom Tov, whichever day of the week we were going to get the Torah, was the day of Yom Tov. Yom Tov, the theme of Yom Tov is we bond with other Jewish people. There's a social aspect. This year has been a very socially distanced year. And it's been hard to build Avad Yisrael and to build that. But when it comes to Shabbat, it's more focused indoors. There's no carrying. There's no getting together. Yeah, there's a little bit of community. There is some Eruv, fine. But it's not the same. Yom Tov is 100% mutar to cook, a mutar to carry. To create. The Torah has that idea of carrying on Yom Tov to create community, to create a social environment. That's because Mekadesh Yisrael v'zmanim. We're Mekadesh, Hashem was Mekadesh Klal Yisrael when it comes to Yom Tov. Yom Tov is the Kedusha that Klal Yisrael brings to Hashem. We visit his house on Yom Tov. So Hashem said, I want to give the Torah not on a Friday. On Friday, it'll only be Yom Tov. I want to make sure that it's going to have a little bit of both. Both have the Kedusha Shabbat together with the Kedusha Yom Tov. That's why we don't focus our energies only on Avodah Hashem, the love of Hashem, exclusively on Shabbat, but also together with the community, with Klal Yisrael. That's the Yom Tov. The two Kedushas are supposed to blend in together. What does that have to do with Yom Tov Sheni? The answer is the Magen Avraham brings from the Ramami Pano, one of the Mekubalim, a very interesting answer. He says, the reason we have second day of Yom Tov, or part of the reason, the Rambam says we keep Yom Tov Sheni on Shavuot, just low plug, we don't make a distinction, just like Sukkot, Pesach, so we keep it the same thing. So for Rav Shaft, he says, yeah, it's the most lenient, because according to the Rambam, it's just a low plug, it's not a good reason, we just do it anyway, so we keep it the same way. Minhag, we keep a second day Shavuot. The Rambam Pano says a different thing. He says, Shavuot, there's something very special over here. And the Chassid Sofer built on it. Because the Torah was actually given, we were ready to accept the Torah on the sixth day. And that's why we celebrate on the sixth day, because we were ready. Hashem was ready to give on the sixth day, and that already purified us a little bit. It was already Kedusha that day. But it was the seventh day that we actually got the Torah, because Moshe added one day. And that's why we keep a second day Shavuot. We didn't need a second day Shavuot, because we're not Pesafik, we're not unsure. We need it to ensure that we're going to hold on to the Kedusha. Why are we only doing Galut? We should in Eretz Yisrael too. It was the real day of Matan Torah. The answer is, this is a lot of answers. Mishnat Sakhir, he answers, this is someone from the Hasidim, a great answer. He's the author, Im Abanim Smecha. He says, because Hashem wants to remind us that Hashem loves our Torah even in Galut. Hashem wants us to learn in Galut. And Hashem gave us the Torah on the second day that we ate it on our own. To remind us that Hashem is going to ask us to learn and Hashem is going to accept what we learn. And that's what the power of Moshe was to add a day. That's the power of Yom Tov Sheni. The fact that it's infused, it's totally created by the Jewish people. That's the power of Yom Tov, the power of Shabbat together, the power of Torah Shabbat Peh. There's even a Rav Sadok. Says the Zohar says that 2 days of Shavuot correspond to two different letters of Hashem's name, the two Chalot that we have, the Shtei Chalot, those represent two different letters, and the Hey and Hey, and the 2 days represent Yud and Vav, one different letters, different things of Hashem's name. To put it all together to make it clear, though, the reason that Shavuot has such a Kedusha on 2 days and Israel doesn't is that Rav Dessler says it this way, and I'll finish, is that Matan Torah happened one day when Hashem was ready. Kabbalah is the Torah. It never says in the Torah what day it is because it's every day of our lives. To take the message, that's the seventh day. That's the Yom Day of Yom Tov. While we're in Galut, we have to remember Torah is for Galut. We have to remember Hashem appreciates our Torah. We have to remember that Moshe ate a day and Hashem accepted. There's Matan Torah, that's 6th day, and then the 7th day is Kabbalah Torah. That's Shabbat. It has to be on Shabbat. When Hashem is ready to come into this world, Hashem is giving to us. That's Kabbalah Torah. It's up to us. That's for upon us to be able to accept. I hope I answered my questions. Why on Shabbat? The answer is we need this bridge between Yom Tov and Shabbat, the focus on community and Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Why do we keep the in Torah it was the 51st day? The answer is because it needed to be Shabbat. And it happens to be that was 7th day of Sivan. So we need Sivan, 7th day of Sivan, together with 6th day of Sivan. So we should have both those days together. So we should celebrate everything. And why Shabbat, we said. So it should be a fusion of all the Kedushas, okay? Hope this is clear. I know I put a lot of ideas into one thing. Any questions, any thoughts? Kedushim, additions.
Sorry, why?